Welcome to Office Hours. We're going to go ahead and get started. This is the weekly AMA section where I ask questions about NEOS. So if you have any questions about NEOS, please drop them in the Office Hours text chat and I will go ahead and get them answered. I'm just going to go ahead and ping the Office Hours role again so that people know that we're here. It does take people like, 10 minutes to arrive. It's like 7 people right now. Thank you so much to those 7 people for being here. We get to like 20 past and it's like 20 people. It's strange. But there we go. Try to keep this at the same time every single week for as long as possible, just so people think of it like a TV show. So we have one question right now from Specs. This question I'm going to delay reading just for a little bit whilst I open up the code base. Excuse me? Oh, it's because I checked out a branch yesterday. I tried to open Visual Studio. Visual Studio went, can't find that solution file. It's like, oh yeah, I'm on a branch. One second. I'll read the question whilst the code base is loading. That takes a while. If anyone who's opened a Visual Studio project, you know, it's just like, oh yes, I'm going to spin your computer fans up as loud as they will go just to read some text files, because that's Visual Studio for you. So Specs' question is, do wigglers and wobblers and other components that run on T incur much in the way of network traffic, or do they basically run locally? I'm asking for a matter how many might be too many in a world, so I was surprised to find how many we could put on Sigil without seeing much impact. So I know that Spinner, for example, runs locally, and that's why Spinners can actually desync for various people. So Spinners are really only good for what I call sort of visual animations rather than sort of functional animations. What I mean by that is, let's say you're in, a wizard study as a part of an RPG game, and there's one of those like mobile, small planetariums in the corner. If those planets on that planetarium are running on a spinner, that's probably okay, right? Because it's just there to add ambience to the scene. It's not there to do anything functional. So people being desynced is totally fine with that. It's just a, background piece of art. If, however, that wasn't a planetarium, and instead it was actually like a solar system, and you're making a space game where you fly between planets using a spaceship, you wouldn't be able to use Spinner in that case, because the planet might be in a completely different location for half the crew of your ship, which would kind of be a deal breaker. So there you go. There's the difference on Spinner, at least. Now the code base is open and responding to Control T requests. I can go ahead and look at Wobbler. So Wobbler is also local, so local drive. And the same with Wiggler. Wiggle and Wobble... Almost said too many W words. Wobble and Wiggle do not sync any data other than their settings. So if you change the speed, the magnitude, etc., those will sync, but the actual state does not sync. So again, they are used for local effects, like I mentioned, the difference between the model planetarium in a wizard's office and the space game where you're flying between planets. And that's why you can get away with quite a lot of them, but do remember that they don't sync. Moving forwards to the next question. Has it been difficult to manage development of multiple versions of NEOS? Since you've said in the past, you have quite a few things pretty much ready for an update, and there's also a small update required, like the one we had a couple of days ago. Or is it difficult to track all that, considering how large the project is? Git is very good at that. In some cases, Git isn't, like I just had. I don't know why, but because I had a branch checked out, the shortcut file I usually use to launch the solution didn't work for some reason. Occasionally, I have to remake that shortcut file. I don't really understand why, but whatever. Other than that, it's good. There are some cases where like mergers are problematic. A good example of this that has been in the public before, so it's people do know about it already, is color management. In color management, we introduced a new data type, color X, which I believe you can still see inside NEOS right now. It's just not finished. Don't use it. Don't use it. But it's there inside the code base. When we are trying to make the full old cut over to color management, every version of color in our code base needs to turn to color X. And so while that is only a one character change, just imagine everywhere where color is used. As a good example there, the delete button, the default inspector, is red. And the reason why it's red is because someone has typed the word color.red at some point in the code base. That needs to be color X.red. And so what that leads to sometimes is a lot of merge conflicts, particularly when the color management build is trying to desperately stay up to date with anything else that we're doing. There's that question. But Git is designed to be there. I'm still trying to teach members of the team how Git works, etc. For example, if you are one of the people who commits to Git with the Git commit message of update, I will do the Liam Neeson, who's the guy that plays the wanted guy? IMDb Wanted. Liam Neeson, isn't it? No, no, that's Wanted, the movie with bending bullets. I want the one. Oh, there was a new one he played. Memory. Liam Neeson, yeah. Liam Neeson, you know. He plays the same person in every single film. He's the guy who gets stuff done. Taken is the film that I was referring to. That's the memed one. Why was I talking about that? Yeah, so if you... Git commits, that was it. Yeah, if you use Git commits with just a simple of, like, update, I will find you, and I will kill you. Git commits should describe the change. There is no such thing as a too long Git commit. You should keep the first line of the Git commit very short, but you can push enter and then type an essay, and Git will just handle it. And it's beautiful when you do that, because people have context about why you made that change. And then you don't do something like at 3 a.m. go, why did Bob, who isn't at work today because they're on vacation, why did he make this change? Because it just broke everything. Make sure you're doing that. And then secondarily, don't commit commented out code. If you need to comment something out and you think you might use it later, you should wrap it in a configuration block or a build flag, or you should delete it and leave a reference somewhere in your own personal notes about where you can find it in the Git tree. If you don't have personal notes about your code, then I don't know what you're doing. Like, just like, keep notes for everything. Like, I was setting up the MMC voting server for this year, and I had no idea how it worked. I completely forgot everything because I didn't make notes. So I have made notes, and I know how it works, and I'll know how it works next year. Ozzy has an interesting question. They say, what is the part of NEOS that you wish you understood better? I understood the actual, like, lower-level data stuff, the synchronization. For anyone who's written a plugin or a mod, maybe, you'll understand that the majority of fields that do synchronize in NEOS are just called what are called syncs. Sync and then not sync the kitchen sink, sync as in to sync, synchronize. If you make something a sync, it will just magically appear on everyone's computer, and I have no real idea how or why, because I don't really need to touch it. But I wish I understood that more, simply because if there are problems with it, which there are, I could go ahead and fix them. I believe that question's answered. Moving forwards to Rig's question. Rig says, will the new NEOS have different collision physics than the current build? I ask because I'm trying to make a pool of table. I don't know what you mean by a new NEOS. So we do have an item on our roadmap called Rigid Body Physics, and Rigid Body Physics will enable you to make things like a pool table that isn't supported right now. It's not like a physics system or anything to do with collisions. It's just an unsupported feature. Yes, you'll be able to do stuff like that. In fact, a pool table is actually like a really good example of the difference between rigid body physics and what we currently have. What we currently have is character physics, which is, hey, I can jump in the world and I don't fall through the floor, which you can sort of coerce into making balls and stuff that you can throw around, but it's difficult, laggy, etc. And there's a huge warning when you do that, like literally built into the inspector. That won't be the case when we have rigid body physics. If you'd like more information on rigid body physics, take a look at the character controller component inside the game, which has a list of, you know, talks all about it, or take a look at the issue, which is referenced from that character controller component, or just search our issue for rigid body physics. Okay, moving forwards to Lex's question. What is the timeout for certain network-related actions? For example, how long it takes to automatically get set offline when you crash, or how long it takes for a session to disappear off the session list when you crash? I'd have to look up each of those in turn, because they're probably different. Some of them might just be sort of a function of other matters as well. For example, the session lister, I know that that has a couple of update mechanisms. So there's the update mechanism that occurs on our end, as in the cloud. And then there's the update mechanism that happens on your end, which is periodically your world browser will ask the server for new sessions. And so if those don't sync up exactly, like a sort of weird orchestra, then things that aren't valid might be there. In the breaking questions, I'm going to mute and slurp a humongous amount of coffee. Okay, that was half a pint of coffee. I should be good to go now. Why are there two threads? Oh, someone's speaking in the thread from February. Let's go ahead and lock that thread. I will answer the question. It's our fault if it's confusing, but I'll go ahead and lock that one. So Rico says, will NEO support non-humanoid avatars similar to VRChat? Depends what you mean by non-humanoid. I think that due to a certain population on our platform, we'll probably look into different leg types at some point. But a few things like spiders, quadrupeds, maybe millipedes, probably not millipedes, but, you know, What I think you're probably asking there for is more generic IK, which is a feature that we're interested in. So for those who aren't aware, IK and also FK aren't just things that are used for avatars or moving arms or whatever inside of inside video games. They're used for the actual fully defined process of those, which is inverse kinematics or forward kinematics. If you don't understand what kinematics are, I want you to think about the cup of water, glass, soda, whatever it is on your desk that you're drinking. Hopefully you've got a drink on your desk. I want you to think about you picking up and drinking that. The fact that your body knows the sequence of muscles to pull and push to make that happen automatically is forward kinematics. That's like where you know where stuff needs to be, and so you adjust stuff until it works that way. So it comes up in a lot of stuff. It comes up in a good example being of like generic IK would be like a robot arm. So you think about a factory where a robot arm's maybe lifting a piece into place. The one I always think about is a car manufacturing line. You know, when they sort of like take like half the car and this robot arm goes like and like sucks it to the other side of the car. Yeah, that needs kinematics. So you know where the robot arm is in space. The fact that the human body just knows that is amazing. We don't really understand how it works. Everyone's now sort of waving their arms around and thinking about it. Next question here from Ozzy, who says, not sure how to phrase this right, but how odd is the facial tracking implementation for Neos? It seems like the facial tracking software is, well, buggy, horrible, and annoying. So imagine implementation for Neos is trying its best. You have to remember that we do everything through a layer. So we do device integration, and then we do what we sort of like, I don't know if it's literally called this, but in my head, like sanitization and conversion. So we take the data that the device gives us, we sanitize it, and we convert it into data which Neos understands, and then we blast it out there in Neos functionality. And that's the biggest example of this that doesn't actually make sense to be integrated, but is integrated right now, is that for haptic systems, we support both the B-haptic suit and the OO suit. If anyone who doesn't know what the OO suit is, good. It's a alternative haptic based suit which requires sticky gel to be affixed to your skin via a tight jacket. It looks interesting, but I don't know if I want to get naked and sticky with the lads just to have some haptic feedback. The point there being, both of those systems work and have vastly different APIs, but they come out the same as the haptic components inside of Neos. We want to make that sort of first part, like the device integration layer, we want to make that open to you guys to write. Plugins is the wrong word because everyone goes like, but then I can't join other people. We want to make it so you can join other people and you'll be able to write your own device integrators. So if you make a headset in your bedroom using a workbench and, you know, an Arduino or whatever, you'd be able to integrate it into our systems and it would pretend from the view of other people in the session that you are just wearing a regular headset. Because that would stop the sort of arms race. It's not arms race, it's the wrong word, but you know what I mean? Like what we have when a new device comes out. What I mean by arms race, which is the wrong word, but I'll run with it, is that, you know, a new headset comes out. Does VRChat support it? Does Rec Room support it? Does Roblox support it? Does Meta Horizon support it? Does Neo support it? And the answer to those questions is the first person to support it usually gets like a boost because they're like, yeah, we support it, blah, 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 blah. Moving on to additional questions. Alex says, what did I miss? Well, you can look at the recording. There's also a transcription available, which does stress out my computer, which is why it sometimes takes a while. It's like, VR platform developer is slow on AI thing. Yay. I need like more computers. I know that like it's the stereotypical thing for people who work in the tech sector, like me in this area, to have like server racks in their houses or something. So many people I know have just got like a full server rack in their house and they're just like, oh yes, I could process this transcription through my server rack. I don't. I used to. It's off. I shipped it from the UK where I lived to Germany where I lived for 18 months. I didn't turn it on. And then I shipped it to America and I still haven't got it turned on. There's actually still packing tape on it from when I moved in here 5 years ago. It's not even really a server. It's just a tiny box that can do what I want to. But yeah, there will be a transcription and there will be a recording. Alex then extends his question with talked about Neo's future. We have not talked about Neo's future. If you'd like to ask a question, please go ahead and do so. Moving on to the next question Rick says, full body locking to hip or head feature possibly on the horizon. I'm used. This might be a thing. I seem to be hip locked. Ah, yeah. So there is a large collection of issues to do with IK, particularly when it comes to full body tracking that we want to look at and improve. Fruks is quite sure of what he needs to do there, though. He just needs to, you know, have the time and capability to do it. He spends a lot of time in full body understanding what's going on there. We get it's problematic. We just, there's nothing we can do about it right now. There's a bunch of changes there. Aaron asks, what's the difference between forward and inverse kinematics? I've had a forward kinematics before. So inverse is you take the end position and you figure out the joints going backwards. So in the case of a robot arm, you would take the position of the clasper, you know, the grabby bit at the end of the arm, and you would work backwards from the grabber to figure out where the joints of that arm need to be to make sure that that grabber is there. Whereas forward kinematics is the other way around. You start at the top and you work down. I don't know much about it, but I presume like inverse is more easy to wrap your head around because you're like, yeah, I want the grasper of my arm to be here. Work out where the elbow needs to be. Work out where the shoulder needs to be. And that is, I don't know because we don't know what mathematics our brains are running, but I believe that's kind of sort of how our brains interpret it as well. Like, I don't ever think about my shoulder or my elbow when I reach out and grab my giant mug of coffee. I just grab my giant mug of coffee because that's where I want my hand to be. So I believe that's that question. Moving forwards to Rico's question. Rico says, will there be more features to make it easier to create things for desktop users? Depends what you mean there. If you could elaborate on what difficulties you're having as a desktop user, I might be able to answer you more effectively. Aaron asks, is there a question you're surprised nobody has been asking in office hours yet? I'm always curious about sort of like some of the weirder parts of Neos that no one seems to use. I would love to answer questions about the areas which I use every day that no one else uses. Like, let's get some more questions about the 3D volumes, slices, the measure tip, the meter tip, the distance meter component. You know, more questions like that. Like, if I haven't heard of the component and you ask about it, you should get like a badge. You should get like a, oh my god, Prime hasn't heard of this component badge. Alex, you can watch the recording. I can't continually repeat myself. It's like a, we run on into the future. Ozzy says there was a new tip added to Instructional Tools recently. Was that intended? It was intended. I did it, and I don't really, like, I don't care what anyone thinks. What I did was I took the mesh visibility tooltip and I made it visible inside Essential Tools. It was completely invisible. I also updated this visual for the component clone tip so that you can actually see it's the yellow one. Because again, like the picture, like I basically just updated the pictures because it was bothering me that three people in that week had asked about the mesh visibility tip. And I'm like, it's there, it's just the invisible one. And I'm like, hang on a minute, why can't I just update this? And I'm like, oh, I can, so I did. I understand that that breaks muscle memory, there's nothing I can do about that. I think it's better in the long run that the mesh visibility tip is now actually visible. I just found it ridiculous. Like, and then someone needed the component clone tip, and they didn't realize that that was the component clone tip, because again, it was, you know, the picture was very small. What I'd love us to do is get, you know, probably get some, like, good UI, not designers, illustrators would be the appropriate term for this particular task, to make diagrams and pictures for each tool that we would then replace in the inventory. Rather than a picture of the tool tip, it would be like a square with the word developer tip and then a picture of the developer tip, you know, like a billboard ad sort of. I just think that would be a lot clearer and better than an often weirdly stretched blurry photo that you can only really tell which tip it is by the color. So to summarize, I guess, it is not a new tip. I just updated it so you can see it. If anyone has a problem with that, I will turn invisible and you won't be able to find me. Just like the mesh visibility tip, which is designed to make stuff invisible, but itself was invisible. Very confusing. Alex says, where is the recording? The recording will be up between 1 and 7 days from the time of this session. It really does depend on what I need to do immediately following this. If I get distracted, it's suddenly midnight and I haven't done it, which then means it's Wednesday and I haven't done it. And then if I have way too much like 3D graphic stuff to do on Wednesday, I just can't run the AI. Rusio says, has Prime heard of the Linear Mapper 3D? Ooh, are we just going to like test me now? Like, do I know these components? The reason why I'm delaying is because I'm literally going to my YouTube channel because I think I have a video on the Linear Mappers. Yeah, I do. 31st October 2019. Yeah, I know about the Lenium mappers. Moving forwards to Stifle says, I wonder if Prime has heard of the LARPing multi-clip player before. Yes, I have. Someone was asking about that. They were misunderstanding what was going on. There's one of those that is broken. One of the clip players is broken. I can't remember which one is broken. I need to look at both of their names. I'm in Neo, so I'll just empty object attach component media and see if I can find it. Maybe it's in players. Okay, it's in audio then. Yeah, there's the LARPing multi-clip player and the multi-audio clip player, and one of those is broken. There was an issue I was reading about. Moving forwards, Rusia said that they assumed it would be invisible, like an in-joke. I don't agree with in-jokes that hamper users' freedom. Like, an in-joke is totally fine. For example, I really don't know of a good example. I guess the example is when you, like, you know, when you're in the bottom left of Discord, when you click, like, the area that's got your doobly-doo, your numbers on it, you can copy it. Actually, that's changed recently because now it just brings up that. It used to be that when you click that, it would copy it to your clipboard. And if you clicked it like a few times, like there'd be a little like, ta-da, and like the elephant logo person would, not the logo one, but the one that they animate sometimes would come up and go, ta-da, or something. That's a fun joke. Something that like is a detriment to users is not a fun joke, though. Oziar, Sasha, I do want to ask, why is the ClearLogics interface icon in there called Clear Logics, which ends up on actually called Clear Interfaces? No actual problem, just confused me in how that desynced. I don't know how that desynced either. I'd have to look into it. Maybe they did the picture thing. You can customize inventory thumbnails, and maybe they customized the inventory thumbnail for it, but just didn't update the thumbnail. Moving forward, Sticky says, there's the new Neat Saber MMC 23 map. When I play it, I find myself missing blocks if I never actually see the saber inside the block, especially when the frame rate is low. Do you think it would be possible to make more efficient block hit detection using Logics? Just to note if Collider's the most efficient solution to that already. Collider's should be the most efficient solution. I've had people before that have said something on the lines of like, but my Logics collision code is better. And I've gone like, do you have any idea what you're saying? Like, inside the physics engine that we use to do collisions is awesome code that you just can't do, like overlaps, intersections, all that sort of like terminology for the physics. And that's how it works out whether two colliders are colliding, and that's how it works out if mesh colliders are colliding. It's like, it's insane. It's examining each individual triangle and seeing if it overlaps with another triangle. It's crazy. You can do some of that in Logics, but not all of it. I've had someone literally say that they were going to take their object and sort of surround it in raycasts, a little bit like Pinhead from Hellraiser, to try and see if it's colliding in anything. And I'm like, could you not just put an active collider on it? And they're like, but I heard active colliders were bad. And I said, yeah, but what you're suggesting is much worse. Active colliders are not bad, by the way. You just need to use them carefully. Spec says, on that note, if you're working with a team, please don't name your slots after memes instead of meaningful descriptions. Working with a team is an interesting exploration, and I'm happy to see that there are, you know, some standard teams that always come out at MMC and do a really good job. But I'm also happy to see as well that there are a lot of people who maybe haven't worked in a team before and are learning the quirks of doing that. There is a lot of stuff that goes into there. For anyone who doesn't know, by trade is wrong because I don't actually do it right now. But I spent 5-6 years as an engineer, and I've spent 5 or 6 years as a product manager. I didn't understand what a product manager did, but now I do. People often get that role confused as well because it's got the word manager in it. Manager has sort of connotations of being sort of like a leader or in charge or a boss, in quotes. But when it comes to product manager, it's anything but that. Our job is basically to orchestrate chaos, and that's what we do. If you're a people manager, that's the traditional management thing that guys are afraid of or apprehensive about. If you're a product manager, your job is to manage the product, not manage people, so it's different. Lex looked up. Yep, it's a custom thumbnail. Item texture thumbnail source, I don't think has been renamed. I can check for you. I go here, I can go to item texture thumbnail source. Looks like it used to be called texture thumbnail source. I don't know if that was before or after I made a video on it, so I will check my channel, make sure that's up to date. Item, customize inventory thumbnails. Let's see what I call it. Oh dear, this is a 3-minute video. Let me run this at 5x speed. I am running it faster than YouTube can keep up. Give me a second here. YouTube, buffer the video. Okay, I'll leave that buffering for a bit. I'll see if my tutorial's up to date. There are some frame synchronization issues for physics, which I think we're planning on looking at later. Thanks, Halo. So that update was September 20th, and I did this September 20th this year. September 20th, 2021. Yeah, my video's out of date. That's fine. when we get going again with updates, I'll start having some sort of policy on how I update videos and stuff. I have a lot of people that comment on my world creation video, and they're like, this is out of date. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I understand that the dash is different. But like, if you just ignored the dash, everything's still valid. I think it says, now that's where you trust on users to understand the names of the UI same, but different UI. Almost want to step-by-step hold in the hand the exact same UI. Yeah, you are right. And I've always said this, so I'm just, you know, restate it. We are at time, but I'll restate it. Anyone is free to make Neos tutorial videos. And at some point, I do hope that the Neos team themselves make their own tutorials, at which point they will be much better orchestrated, planned, and scripted. You know, I'll probably be involved in those, etc. The reason why my channel exists is to do tutorials in my style and my brand, which is just like, I hit go and I record. None of my videos are planned. Actually, a couple of them are planned, but like, they still aren't planned when I hit. There's no script. The one where I did mineable ore, for example, that one was planned. I had to go get some assets for that one, etc. But I hit go and I just started talking. Like, I didn't have any script in mind. It's working out great, hence why everyone likes them, but there is a point in Neos's future, I hope, where my tutorials are seen as less good because they are not scripted, and that's absolutely fine, and I like that day, whenever that day happens. Like, if you take a look at like just a popular tutorial channel for a very popular topic, you know, maybe web development or something, those people, they plan and script so much to get the best quality video, and then I'm just there like, record, giggle, stop recording, start recording again, giggle. Yeah, I don't like editing. If I have to edit, it would take me longer to learn to edit than it would to just re-record it. But there's been a couple of times where I've accidentally leaked like personal information or something. You know, it happens with OBS, and I've gone, oh, I'll have to edit that out and blur it. And I've gone, or I could just re-record it, and that'll take me 10 minutes, and I just re-record it. Take a look at the outtakes video if you'd like to see some of those outtakes. There are hundreds of exactly the same thing there. Jekyll says that the tutorials appealed to them because they're not polished. Yeah, I know. It's exactly why I keep doing them. I do need to... I've got this idea for a meme video where I do a mock video in the style that everyone else does tutorials. We're going to have dubstep. We're going to have intros. We're going to have like a subscriber thing. We're going to have the bell appear. We're going to have a Raid Shadow Legends sponsor. And it's going to be a very simple tutorial. It's going to be like, how to click a button in Neos. Like, 20 minutes with just like a single like second of left click. I should also do a Hypercam video. That would be great. Well, I couldn't actually do Raid Shadow Legends. I put Raid Shadow Legends through a thesaurus, and I came up with a very close title, which I'll make up. And trust me, the sponsorship segment will have like a dragon downloaded from Sketchfab, like breathing and stuff. It'll be awesome. Okay, we have one final question. I was just about to end, but Zach did ask a question, which says, how do I set up a dev tooltip again? You attach the dev tooltip... You attach the dev tooltip component, and everything will just work. I can get you the name of that component. Give me a second. No, that's the logics tip. Dev tooltip. There you go. Yeah, the actual whole part of the video will take 300 times longer than the actual tutorial content of the video, which is just how to click a button. So, but that's kind of the point. Anyway, with that, we are at time. We've been at time for like 10 minutes. Lol. I will go ahead and leave us off here. If you have any additional questions in the meantime, drop them questions on help channel, DM me, send me a carrier pigeon, whatever you want to do. I will get back to you with another office hours in a week. I will speak to you then. Bye-bye.